Want to just share a short message this morning, and the title of this message is The Covenant Faith of the Unlikely. The Covenant Faith of the Unlikely. So, I didn't know what the set list was going to be this morning, but it just kind of really almost mirrors the message in many ways, talking about God's faithfulness and his promises. And I didn't really have this prepared either. It's nothing to do with the engagements. But did you know that every diamond has a flaw or an imperfection? Everyone, less than 0.5% of diamonds are flawless, could you see? And there's another stone that resembles a diamond. It's called a cubic zirconia. And it, on the other hand, is pretty flawless, but it's not worth much. It costs about 20 quid a carat. And if you don't know what a carat is, it's not the ones you buy at Lidl. Mind you, if you shop at Sainsbury's, it might cost you 20 quid for a carat. But it may look amazing, but it doesn't have much value. Amen. So diamonds are flawed. They have imperfections, but their value is retained. They are precious stones. And so they hold on to that value forever. Amen. Cubic zirconia, on the other hand, it's nice to look at. And maybe when it's been made and it's new and everything else, it looks great. But it loses its luster after a few years. It becomes cloudy. And it's not the stone that it once was when it's new. And why am I talking about diamonds this morning? Well, I want to introduce you to some characters from God's roll call of faith in Hebrews 11. You could say they were God's diamonds. They were flawed and imperfect, many of them, in many ways. And if you like, you could call them God's champions. And there might be a bit of a theme of that this morning as well, that we have a champion. His name is Jesus Christ, won the battle for us. And I believe he wants us to live a life of overcoming and for us to have victory and mastery and to be champions over our life and its circumstances. But we've got him. We couldn't ever do it on our own. Amen. And so, you know, these people in Hebrews chapter 11 kind of define what it means to have faith, incredible faith. And to the extent that in verse 16 in Hebrews 11, it says that God was pleased to call himself their God. Isn't that amazing? That you have, your faith pleases me so much. I just take pleasure in calling you mine, my people, because of your faith. Amen. And in Hebrews 11, chapter 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the faith that these people had was a mature faith. It had a depth of faith that obviously was pleasing to God. That's what God's word says. Now, some of these people were diamonds in the rough, as it were. Do you know that saying, diamonds in the rough? Some of us might have found a diamond in the rough. Amen. But the Lord knew their great potential. They had great potential. And at the beginning of the journey, it might not have looked like it. And even going through that journey, it may not have looked like it. But God knew there was unrealized potential in these people. And so it didn't matter who they were, where they'd come from. Every nation, tribe, and tongue. Yeah, God pulls us. He literally does pull us sometime out of that. And he calls us. He brings us up higher. Amen. So, but they all had defects. But they all ended up in this chapter of Hebrews in chapter 11. And I believe that the reason they ended up there was because they knew what it was to have a covenant with God. They understood the covenant that God had with them and with their forefathers, and I believe that this is what made the difference. God declared each one of them righteous because they decided, I'm going to believe that God is a covenant God. Amen. And this chapter should give us immense hope. You know, we've been speaking to people throughout this week. We were speaking to someone after prayer time on Wednesday morning, and our hearts were really heavy feeling with a report we had about someone. And there's so many questions swirl around in our minds about why God, why does this happen? Why did it have to be this way? And I wanna look at in Hebrews 11 what it says this morning. So God declared them righteous because they dared to believe. Many of them died without seeing or without experiencing what they were believing for. The word says that many of them passed on without realizing what they were believing for. Some of them were subjected to terrible cruelty, mockery. And the Bible says that in Hebrews that some actually shunned their deliverance because they knew that something better was to come. The Bible says that there is a better resurrection. And when you read that, you cannot fathom in your own natural mind why would someone shun their deliverance in favor of waiting for something better that you could never... How did they know it? There was something better coming? Well, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you can't see. And that got them through these most heinous situations in their lives. Verse 39 says that all of them did not receive the promise because God had something better to provide. Does this mean that God doesn't keep his promises? No. All of God's promises are yes and amen, as we sang this morning. And God promised individuals in the Bible that if they would believe on him, that their offspring would be like the stars of the sky, that they would be like the grains of sand on the seashore. All they had to do was believe on him. So in spite of all of this harsh suffering that some of them went through, the rejection of by their own family. It's quite a gory chapter. You'll read there that some of them were tortured badly and sawn in two. It's terrible. But through all of this, the word says that they obtained a good testimony by their faith. They were overcomers and champions. Amen. And so I believe that Hebrews 11 should give us peace and freedom from doubt that God's not cruel. He's not a cruel God. He's a loving God. He loves us. And, you know, I realize that many people don't have ideal relationships with maybe a mother or a father, but I count myself blessed when I see how my mom loved me, and I think, God, you put her in my life to love me. And to love my kids, she's a wonderful nanny to my children. And I think, thank God for that. But his love will never forsake me. I believe my mother's love will never forsake me either, but his love will never forsake me. His love is on an even higher level than natural love. Amen? It's called the agape love of God. Amen? And so This chapter should help us if we have questions regarding God's faithfulness. You know, the believers who do not receive what they've prayed for, but they still remain faithful, received something better. And they received a maturity in their faith. And I think that in the days that is coming, the thing that is going to serve the church well and believers well is maturity in faith. And we may have gone through a lot of terrible things. Someone didn't get well. Something that I was believing for didn't happen. I'm still waiting for this to happen. My expectations have been frustrated. Something I've been hoping for hasn't materialized. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. That's a boxing term, isn't it, Liam? Your trainer, he's had enough. But don't let anyone in your... Don't let them throw in the towel. Don't you throw in the towel. Because a mature faith moves on to believing that God is a God of the supernatural. Amen. And you believe in that supernatural power. God is also sovereign. You understand, you begin to understand that God is sovereign and his purposes will, although we don't always know what they are, understand them, but his purposes will be achieved. Amen. He's sovereign. And also that God's promises are settled. And it takes a maturity in your faith not to question and to say, I believe you. I believe that you've settled this, Lord, in your word. And in my prayer time, I've heard your voice by the Holy Spirit, and it's settled. I'm going to just stay, and I'm going to believe. I'm going to hold on. Amen? So we can either believe in the covenant and its power to deliver. We can believe in its ability to get us through to God's desired end for our lives. I'd rather have God's desired end for my life than my desired end. Do you not agree with that? Or we can ignore the covenant, and we can try and deliver ourselves. As there's a song I grew up listening to in South Africa. It's by a guy called Johnny Clegg. He's actually called the White Zulu. And he sings a song called The Spirit of the Great Heart. And he sings, the lyrics go something like this. It's not a very spiritual song, by the way. The world is full of strange behavior. Every man is trying to be his own savior. And a lot of people are trying to deliver themselves out of situations that only God can deliver us out of. I believe that. And we can try to change things by ourselves, or we can let him work through us to bring change. And these people in Hebrews 11 eventually understood that it was God working in them and through them that brought the greatest impact into their world. Amen. And we can look at these champions, these heroes of the faith, and say, I've got defects too, but I'm precious in God's sight. I'm a diamond. I'm precious. I'm precious in his sight. I have defects. We have flaws. Amen. But we were redeemed. Redeemed means to buy something back at a cost. We were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and God has redeemed us. And God redeemed even the failures of these people, the things that were broken and like, how are you going to fix it? How are you going to come back from that? God redeemed their defeats, their failures. Amen? And so even when faith seems to fail, God's purposes will prevail. They'll always go on. We just have to hold on. Revelations 5. Take your Bibles and go to Revelation 5 or your phones. Verse 9 says, they sang a new song saying, you're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. Out of every tribe and tongue, people and nation, we've been redeemed so that God could make us kings and priests to our God. Amen. It was a redemption that pulled us out of a life of purposelessness, insignificance. And God gave all of these people significance. Rahab, significant for protecting those spies, putting that scarlet cord out of the window. Well, that's not much. Yet she's mentioned in the roll call of faith. But it doesn't seem like much. But it was faith that was pleasing to God that did it. Amen? And so he gave them all significance. And it occurred to me that there's a verse that we often maybe say, but do we really think about it? In him we live and move and have our being. You'll find that in Acts chapter 17, verse 28. And if you look at the opposite of that, if we don't have him, there is no life, there is no motion, and there is no real existence. Because in him we live and we move and we have our being. Amen? And we have an adversary, and you'll have heard his name mentioned over the last weeks, the devil, Satan, who he's an adversary. The word adversary is antidikos, which means a prosecuting lawyer, all right? And he comes, and he wants to influence our thinking and our mind. He wants to gain access to our thought life, to our hearts. He wants to gain access to all aspects, all areas of our life, our family, our finances, our resources. The Bible says that he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy all of that. And 1 Peter 5, verse 8 tells us, we've got to be sober. That means be of alert mind and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking people whom he may devour. But resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. When I want to know if someone's suffering like me, and I give thanks to God because I don't really believe I know what real suffering is, but we can go to Hebrews 11 and we can see the suffering. You can pick up a magazine in the church office called the Voice of the Martyrs, where you will read about people all over the world taking the gospel to those countries where it's rejected and where you can be put to death for preaching it, or even having a Bible, or even having a scrap of paper with a scripture on it. Amen? And it says here that may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, and then it says something profound, after you have suffered for a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen? May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, may he perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Wow. What does the prosecution do in a trial? If anyone ever been in a courtroom, what does the prosecution do? They bring accusation using facts from the past. So that's what they do. The prosecutor reminds people of their misdeeds, and he tells the judge and the jury, tries to convince them that the offender deserves punishment, okay? That's what the prosecutor does. Now, the prosecutor knows the law. Our adversary, the devil, knows God's word. He knows scripture. He even quoted it to Jesus when Jesus was in the wilderness. And so the prosecutor knows enough about the law to try and get his prosecution. The devil knows enough about scripture to try and make you feel condemned. And he'll try and use whatever he can against you. Revelation 12, verse 10 says, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, that's the devil, who accused them before our God day and night, he's been busy, has been cast down, praise the Lord, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to the death. Lord, I love you more than my own life. I love you more than life itself. So in order to overcome the accuser, he's the one who's busy going to and fro, bringing accusations. The one who tells you you're defeated, you're a failure, and you deserve A, B, and C, and D, E, and F. This is what you deserve. You have to know something about the blood of Jesus to overcome him. And that's what we've been teaching on for 5 weeks, the blood covenant. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more will he cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We are attacked in our consciousness, in our conscience. So the devil's plan, he does not want us to have a good conscience before God. He wants you to have guilt. He wants you to feel guilty. He wants us to feel condemned. He wants that. But the blood works along with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And when we honor the blood, now this is going to be quite important. When we honor the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit goes to work, all right? If we understand the blood, we can stand without shame or guilt. We've won our case. The adversary is defeated. Why do we win our case when we stand in the blood? Because we have an advocate, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's our advocate. Amen. So we honor the Lord when we go to him and we confess that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We honor him. Amen. You know, this is the thing. Every day we should include the blood in our prayers, because it shows God, I have not forgotten the blood. I will never forget the blood. And in fact, as I'm praying to you this morning, today I'm going to depend on the blood the whole day long. I'm going to depend on it every single day. I'm going to depend on it. I'm going to remember that there's a new covenant based on better promises. And I do remember the Old Testament, and I remember the Passover lamb and all of those things, but I've decided that I'm not going to live in the shadows of the past things, but I'm going to live in the revelation of the new covenant. Because we can live in the past. We can live in the... So the Jews, when Jesus came, when Jesus was getting ready, when on the way to the cross, he was delivered to the praetorium, but the Jews wouldn't go with him because they would not go into that place in case it defiled them, because they were getting ready to eat the Passover. They were thinking of the old lamb, the Passover lamb, and the real Lamb of God was right there. He's right there. We've moved out of that Old Testament into a new one. Amen? Thank God for the Old Testament. We still draw so much from it. Amen. But the Passover lamb was a shadow of the real thing. Now, if that lamb of those lambs of the Passover had the power to deliver God's people and to heal them, do you know that the word says that when they left Egypt, there was not one sick person or feeble person among them? And do you know what else it says? When they left Egypt, they didn't leave empty-handed. They plundered everything the Egyptians had. They left with all the resources and the riches, maybe been some diamonds in there too. There wouldn't have been any cubic zirconia. They had left there, and God says, you're leaving with everything. Amen. And so everyone left Egypt, and they were well. Everything that they needed for their onward journey, God provided for them by the Passover lamb. But it was just a shadow of what God would do one day on the cross for us. And now we can look and we can hold on to this. Amen. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So he does supply everything we need according to his riches and glory. The blood of Jesus, it purchased that for us. And we don't have to live in the shadow anymore. Amen. There's no substitute for the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. There's no substitute for him. There's no substitute. Many Christians today, we try and live our lives on our own strength, but we could be living our lives dependent on his strength. It's a better way to live our lives. Amen. Psalm 21:7 says, the Lord is the strength of my life. So I want to encourage you today, Let's not be quick to ignore the covenant and pay heed to our flesh. Don't trust in your flesh. We have a covenant partner. Amen. Maybe we don't really know how to apply or appropriate the covenant. Panic sets in. I'm not sure what this all means, and we revert back to going back to living in our own strength. I'm encouraging you, listen to the messages. Go and do your own Bible study on the blood and begin to get a hold of the blood covenant so that you can live every day and you can live knowing, I'm depending on you, Lord. You've done all this for me. And I'm a champion in Christ. Amen. I'm a champion in Christ. Last verse, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, praise the Lord, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And before, in a moment, I'm going to give anyone in this room the opportunity to place their faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never done that before, but before I do that this morning, I'd like a young man to come up here and give us a good testimony about what the Lord is doing in his life. And I want you to listen carefully to this, because it's to me, not just following from a distance, this young man's progress from when he was baptized in this church has been an astonishment to me. Not that I'm surprised, but it's been wonderful to see. And I believe that this will encourage us, because we can really say at the end of the service today, look what the Lord has done. Amen. Liam, come on up and share with us. Amen. Let's give him a hand.
Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. I'm a wee bit nervous, like coming up to talk right now. And I have a few things on my phone, because I find it better reading off my phone. But recently, God has truly worked like wonders in my life. The past few weeks have been really joyful. I picked up my second national title a few weeks ago. And up to that, the main thing that got me through it was truly just trusting in God. Like, knowing that whatever happened was through his will, and it was a part of the unique plan that he has out for me. So that's all I thought about. Before I got baptized, I would have really struggled with being able to take losses, and I would have been thinking up to my fights and thinking up to everything that was happening in my life, that if I lost, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. But since I've built my relationship with God and got closer to him, I've just been able to manage everything. Anything that's went wrong, I just know that it's all going to be all right with God, do you know what I mean? Jesus Christ. My brain's went blank. I'm just gonna look for one of those. One of the big things for me, up to everything that is happening in my life, even getting asked to come up and talk in church, is like praying. I think it's so strong just to talk to God, like talk to our Creator. It's such a powerful thing. Like, it's crazy to think about when I'm praying, I'm talking to God right now. And like up to the fights, I don't pray that I don't say to God, please help me win this, please get me the victory. I just pray that whatever happens is right for me and that it's all through his will. And I just trust in that. When I'm nervous, I think of Bible verses. A big one for me is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I think about that all the time. Up to anything that's coming up to the nationals, when I was nervous, all I was thinking about was that verse, and I knew that I was going to be all right through God. Recently, I've also been picked to be the captain of my district and the team that's coming up for boxing. And honestly, I think I can say that before I built a relationship with God, I would have never been able to take that. I would have never been able to help people with confidence, because I would have felt so like, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but I don't think I would have been able to be a good role model for people. But now that I have a relationship with God and that I have a relationship with Christ, that I think my characteristics are building into the person I need to be, and I'm so proud of that. And as it is Mother's Day, I want to thank you. I want to thank my mum then, just as I'm thinking, she helps me through everything. As it is all through God's will, my mum does help me through everything as well, and I'm so grateful. I thank God for that every day. Hello. All right. I also, just so I'm thinking about thanking God, I try to always remember to thank God for everything that goes seen and unseen, noticed and unnoticed, because even though it might not seem that he's like working in my life, even though it might not seem that the things that I'm asking for are getting done, I know in mysterious ways that I can't see is 100% happening. Up to my fights, I was praying to God every night, saying, because honestly, I didn't have a lot of faith in myself. The people that I was fighting, they were really talented boys, but I knew I could do it with God, but I was just asking him that anything in training that comes up is what will help me to be able to win. I wasn't asking to win, but what I needed to be able to win. And I think God really did do that, because like some of the training up to it is like things I've never done before, but it all played a massive part in what I needed to do. And it's just everyday life, everything that I ask for, everything that I pray for, it gets done in ways that I can't even imagine. And my mind's gone blank again. They always like provide what I need to be able to get through what I'm going through. So I give all glory to God to everything that's happened. For even this opportunity to be able to come to church. I know I've missed church quite a lot just because commitments and stuff, but I have been reading my Bible every night. But just being able to come to church every Sunday that is so close to me, it's within walking distance. I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for the life I have. Like, even though like there might be some bad things that happens, there's always joyful things. And for everything that goes wrong, I always know that's learning. I also just mentioned Aaron, a boy that comes to this church a lot. He was in the nationals with me as well, and T1. He's going through the same path as me, and I'm actually really grateful for God to give me someone just to do it with, and to be able to come to church with, to talk to my problems with. Yeah, I'm so grateful for that. I'm just grateful for the life I'm living. I'm thankful for this church and everything. So thank you all.
Thank you for joining us today. For future content, please subscribe. And if anything spoke to you or was relevant to you, please leave a comment. If you want to find out more about the church, how to support the ministry, or connect with us, then go to bridge-church.com. So until next time, thank you for joining us, and goodbye.